There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Right now on NFL Live, a new day, a new quarterback for the New York Football Giants. The Daniel Jones era set to begin on Sunday in Tampa Bay. Minka Fitzpatrick is a Dolphin no more. The Steelers trade for Fitzpatrick as they try to salvage their season. And speaking of trades, Jalen Ramsey wants one. The Jaguars corner none too pleased with his situation in Jacksonville. Another player who could use an upbeat, Cam Newton, not at practice today after re-aggravating his preseason foot injury. We'll have the latest on that coming up. And breaking news just in within the last half hour, Jets coach Adam Gase says quarterback Trevor Siemian out for the year. He has torn ligaments and surgery will be necessary. Luke Falk will start until Sam Darnold returns from mono. Insult to injury for the New York Jets. I'm Wendy Nix, Diana Rossini, Ryan Clark, and Coach Jack Del Rio. But we start with the other team from New York, one of the two anyway. There's a changing of the guard for the New York Giants. Rookie Daniel Jones, the sixth overall pick in April's draft, has replaced Eli Manning as the team's starting quarterback. He will take over Sunday on the road against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Head coach Pat Shurmur had this to say via Giants.com. Eli was obviously disappointed, as you would expect, but he said he would be what he has always been, a good teammate, and continue to prepare to help this team win games. Daniel understands the challenge at hand, and he'll be ready to play on Sunday. Ultimately, this is a move I felt was best for this team at this time. I have said it since I got here. I am very fond of Eli. His work ethic, his preparation, his football intelligence, all those attributes are as good as I have ever seen in a player. As we look ahead to what the Giants have in the coming weeks, again, Jones will make his debut at Tampa Bay. That will be followed by the Redskins, the Vikings, and then how about this, a game in Foxborough against the New England Patriots. Adam Schefter joins us now. And Adam, let's start with the factors that ultimately led to this final decision.
Well, Wendy, let's start with the fact that the New York Giants are 0-2, but let's also remember that they're dealing with wide receivers that are hurt. OBJ's in Cleveland, so it's not the same wide receiver crew that we've seen in New York. The defense has not played well, and the team has looked overall listless. So the fact that they've decided to go to Daniel Jones today tells you that this is something that they've been thinking about doing and wanting to do, really from the moment they drafted him with that seventh overall pick in the April NFL draft. And they started out, and the start to this season was not what this team wanted or expected. And so this morning, the Giants head coach Pat Shurmur gave Eli Manning the news that I think everybody expected. They just didn't expect it to come today. The Giants themselves had talked about the fact that they wanted to leave Daniel Jones on the bench, learning for as much of the season as they possibly could. Obviously, they sped up their plans because this team has looked as listless as it has, and Daniel Jones has looked good in the limited time he's had in the preseason, but usually really it's fans calling for a quarterback to be inserted, and usually the team exercises patience. In this case, the Giants decided not to be patient. They believed it was time to turn the page, end the Eli era, and start a new one with Daniel Jones.
Speaking of which, Shefty, you heard Coach Shurmur say Eli was disappointed. That's the natural reaction, of course, but what's next in your estimation for Eli Manning?
Standing on the sideline, holding a clipboard, because he's got a family in New Jersey. He's got a no-trade clause in his contract. And it's not like Eli Manning is going to be dealt today to Jacksonville to go be the Jaguars' new quarterback or the Pittsburgh Steelers to go be the replacement for Ben Roethlisberger. It's not going to happen for a few reasons. Number one, Eli doesn't want to leave New Jersey. Number two, there might not be another team that's willing to pay the type of salary that it would take to bring in Eli Manning at this stage of his career. So even though it makes sense in a fun way to think about where Eli could go and should go and would go, he's not going anywhere other than to the sideline for the New York Giants to be a good teammate to Daniel Jones, to be a sounding board, to back him up, to give him pointers during the game. And really, that's what is going to be his job here going forward.
Adam, thank you. We'll be back with you in just a minute. Listen, there's nowhere else to start. I'll start with you, Ryan, and then Coach, is this the right time to make this move?
It was the right time before the season. I'm not sure how we all didn't see the setup coming. You allow Daniel Jones to play the whole preseason against backup players for other teams, but you have the starting offensive line, and they wanted to see him succeed. They wanted him to do well early. And if you look at Eli Manning the past few years, he's been on the decline. They understood that this team was talent depleted on defense, especially. Now you have wide receivers out. Daniel Jones showed that he can play in this league and that he has the goods, and that's the reason you drafted him at number six. Allowing Eli to play two games and now making this decision has done nothing but waste our time, waste the Giants' time, and Eli Manning's time. It's time for Daniel Jones to play, and this was the right time to do it since you didn't make the decision before the season.
Well, I would say that, right? That's the distinction. It's the right time because you didn't do it at the right time. So yeah. It's the right time now, I would guess, Coach. But listen, this is no easy task. It's not like there will be a lot of additional pieces in place on Sunday for Daniel Jones that Eli didn't have. Not yet, anyway.
No, that's true. I think what you will see, though, is a more athletic version of Eli. I think, you know, Daniel Jones is going to bring the ability to extend plays, move around a little bit, a little stronger arm. So, I mean, you know, Eli had a great career. And it's coming to an awkward end, and I'm sure not the way maybe he anticipated this season would go. But for the Giants, this gives them a little breath of fresh air. I mean, it gives them an opportunity to kind of get a restart. Nobody's really, you know, run away with anything yet early in the season. He needs to help them get a couple wins on the board.
Well, and Diana, we said this from the outset, that the only way really to hold this off would be for the Giants to win. We wouldn't be having this conversation, or at least I would guess, if they were 2-0 and not 0-2. That is not the case, and you just get the feeling, to Ryan's point, this was inevitable.
Yeah, and this wasn't an easy decision for the Giants organization. We know how committed John Mara has been to Eli Manning, his legacy, making sure that they maneuver this ever so perfectly for what works for this organization. And, you know, I covered this team during the summer and during those training camps and preseason games, and you know, Coach Shermer did a really good job taking questions from the media about when is Daniel Jones going to play. But I'll tell you, just from my own opinion, watching him up at the podium, he would take so much time highlighting how good Daniel Jones is. It's like he was fighting it. Like, I have to play Eli, but I really want to play Daniel Jones. And he did what he needed to do and what the owner and the GM, Dave Gettleman, wanted to do. But I think for Pat Shermer, I think you talk about feeling refreshed. I think Coach Shermer is going to feel refreshed. And, you know, when you talk to other coaches in the league about Eli Manning, I think fans have a much different feel about how they view him. Coaches have a lot of respect for what he can do. I know you dealt with Eli Manning when you were with the Raiders, when they benched him and you had to face Geno Smith. When you approached the game.
We got to face Geno Smith.
You got That's Geno, right?
You were gifted.
Absolutely. We were very pleased that that was the decision they made at that time. I mean, Eli was still showing signs of maybe slowing a little bit, but still very capable. And we were happy that it went that way.
See, that's the problem. He is no longer capable, and he's most certainly not capable on this team. And at that time, Coach, he was more capable than Geno Smith was, which isn't the case anymore. Now, what the Giants have done by waiting is this. The expectations are so low that Daniel Jones can't fail. If this team continues to lose games, if the offense isn't doing well, now we can look back to the first two games and say, well, they don't have the talent. Well, they can't block up front. Even Eli couldn't make this team win. And so now Daniel Jones gets to progress and move throughout this season without the pressure of what his pick says he should be. He gets to learn. He gets to learn on the job, get the experience, and you look to next year for him to be the guy that takes this team to more wins.
Well, clearly, I think we can all agree this likely ends the Eli Manning era in New York, at least as the starting quarterback. And I would also say this, I'm done now. And I was almost there, but I will never believe a quarterback drafted in the first round is not going to start. I get sucked in every
Wendy
single
Nitch,
time.
You know why?
I know better.
Because I'm willing to bet, even though they liked Daniel Jones, when you watched his film, you didn't know it would look like it looked in the preseason. They started to learn it through OTAs. They learned it in training camp. But when they drafted him, I believe they thought that they could hold him off. You thought that you could allow Eli Manning to play and there wouldn't be an outcry for Daniel Jones. But when a guy goes out and does what he does in preseason, even though it's not regular season games against good on good.
And the way he handled himself.
Right.
And,
which that's let's always, be clear, was tremendous from the outset.
He's the most Eli-like person I've ever seen.
I was telling Ryan that I interviewed him, and I kept trying to get him to admit that he should be the starter, and he was just weaving
in. Don't take the bait.
By the way, you may win with the Dwayne Haskins situation in Washington. He may not play this year. So you may be have your first victory in the last few years.
I'm not counting on it. Give it time. All right, look, there's so much news today, and we continue with this. Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey, surprise, he wants out of Jacksonville. His agent has confirmed that he asked the Jaguars to trade Ramsey. And league sources tell our Adam Schefter that the Jaguars have had some talks with teams. They are asking, I believe, at least one first-round pick. They would like more, if at all possible.
And right now I'm still a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm happy about that. And I'm getting ready for the game as well. And that's where my focus is right now. I've been in the meetings. I've been taking my notes. I've been getting ready for our walkthroughs and our practice and everything that we got to do out there. I didn't leak that information. Me and my agent, we are not the ones who leaked that information. And I was very strict about that because I did not want it to get out. And I didn't want it to be a distraction. I didn't want everybody asking my teammates all type of questions throughout the week. So let me be real clear about that. I was not the one, me and my team, we was not the one that leaked that information because I thought about my teammates. I thought about stuff like that. So y'all need to ask the other side or whoever.
Well, that was Jalen Ramsey and Shefty. Round and round we go. What's the possibility we see a trade?
Well, this has been building for a long period of time, and I think to a certain extent, it came to a head Sunday when you saw Doug Marrone and Jalen Ramsey have to be separated on the sideline and exchange heated words. Jalen Ramsey said today that he still has not spoken to the Jaguars head coach, Doug Marrone. And it's clear at this point in time that both sides would like to move on from the other. The question is when they could make that happen. Jacksonville is not going to just trade him to make the trade, and it's not going to trade him unless it feels it is getting fair value in return for him. It is talking to other teams. The Jaguars said last night that they have no plans to trade him right now. But that can change in a moment's notice as soon as there's a team to step up and offer what it takes to get the deal done. There were a number of teams disappointed by the fact that they were left on the outside of getting Minkah Fitzpatrick and didn't land him for Miami. You'd have to think that maybe one of those teams that was in discussions with the Dolphins about trading for Fitzpatrick, and there were a good half dozen of them, now maybe decides to step up with Ramsey. The issue here is that you have to compensate the Jacksonville Jaguars and then give Jalen Ramsey a huge new contract extension, whereas Fitzpatrick had time left on his contract, his rookie deal. Jalen Ramsey wants to be paid. That's a part of any trade that would happen. But I think when the time comes that Jacksonville has received what it believes is a fair offer, they're going to trade Jalen Ramsey because he wants out, and I think they'd like him out.
Thanks, Shefty. And look, the fact that the coach and the player still haven't spoken when you know those things need to be diffused after the fact is problematic. Dana, I'll start with you on some of the offers that may be out there and where he might land.
So Adam brings up the best point, which is the value. And Jacksonville is not going to move him until they get the draft picks and the equity that they would be looking for. So right now, at this point, I was told that a first in 2020 and a fifth in 2021 from an NFC team. And in the AFC, there's a team right now looking for a first in 2020 and a player. And I've made a lot of calls to GMs around the league over the last hour to try to figure out who these two teams are. And the most common response I've been getting from those teams have been, they're just asking for too much at this point. There are teams that were really in on that. You know, we obviously know a lot of teams that are in need of that position right now. And he's the type of player, even if you don't need that position, you're trading for him. You're trying to get him on your roster because he is that good. But in terms of the price that Jacksonville is looking for, it's just too high. That can change though. If a team starts winning and they're desperate, they may be willing to give it up.
Sure. But the economics of the situation, look, you don't want to be in that position where they know you want to move him. They got you. You're your sort of leverage is limited there. Coach, let me ask you this. We can talk about the macro later, about players who don't like their situations and asking for trades, because it's becoming a little bit endemic, I think, over the last month or so. But how do you handle this right now as a team that's got to play on Sunday when you have a player who wants out?
So I'm Doug Marrone right now?
Good luck. I'm sorry to say you are.
First of all, he needs to sit down and make sure they air whatever's going on between them so that you don't have an outlash like that, an outbreak of emotion on the sideline like that. I mean, it really needs to be put aside so that the team can move on. And even if they part ways, you know, they're still together right now. And this will fester and be a problem for the football team if they don't address it.
Well, and it's Tuesday afternoon, and this happened on Sunday. You would think by now, whether it's a phone conversation or whatever, that these two would have spoken. Because to your point, whatever happens, happens. But right now, you're together.
Yeah, absolutely. And these things have an effect on the locker room. If you watch the altercation on the sideline, you saw who all the defensive backs ran to defend. Nobody grabbed Jalen Ramsey and moved Jalen Ramsey away or had an issue with him. There was no player pointing to Jalen Ramsey to focus on the game, but there was one telling Doug Marrone to go coach football. And so it shows you where their loyalties lie. And so when you look at a coach who's addressing a player like this on the sideline, who's not only your teammate, he's your homeboy, right? And you understand the type of adrenaline, the type of emotion that goes into playing each play, and the fact that these two are getting into it, and you say, you know what, I'm going to take care of my guy. I'm going to make sure my boy is good. And oddly enough, David Mogeta and I, Jalen Ramsey's agent, we were on the phone the other day, and we were just talking ball. This had nothing to do. This situation hadn't happened. And he told me, he said, what people don't realize about Jalen Ramsey is how smart he is. He said, people just hear him talk and they think that he's doing these things and he has no control. But so many things that he does, that he says, he talks about before. He thinks those things through. So where we see it as chaos, it's an organized chaos. And when a guy understands that, and then he steps up to the podium and he says, you know what? These are the things that are going on, but I made sure that it didn't leak from my side. I thought about my teammates, whether it's true or not, right? When I hear it from the outside, if I'm his teammate, I go, man, that's my guy. This dude's thinking differently. In his situation, he's thinking about us. And right now, he's winning the locker room. So Doug Marrone, as coach says, has to do something to combat that for this team to continue playing.
Here's my one issue just with what you're saying, because I agree with everything you're talking about, the dynamic of a locker room. We've seen it before. This isn't the first situation where we've seen an issue between a player and a coach. But one of the things that GMs and coaches have been sharing with me during the last 24 hours since it became news that he's been asking for a trade was the question marks about his emotions, his ability to handle himself. So while you say he's poised and he's planned and he purposely said what he did, he also went up there and cursed several times, right? Well, and we all have different opinions about cursing.
Time out. Wait, I don't curse.
Okay,
right?
You
so
don't.
I spell
coach
curse does, words.
I don't think coach.
No, I spell curse words. Are we seriously in this NFL with dudes doing the things that we're doing? We're going to talk about Jalen Ramsey cursing?
But you're in a press conference. You need to be aware of your environment. You have cameras all over you.
So what?
And you're not going to be mature enough in that moment to know that you probably shouldn't curse in that. Everybody's watching that.
I think
every potential GM and coach that wants it.
I would love to go through the press conferences of coaches cursing, of players cursing. It's not a situation to where we worry about if he curses. What you're worried about is on Sundays, does he go out and play
football?
Well,
I tell you what, and
we said that about Antonio Brown. Well, he can play.
When there are problems, sometimes
he still is playing, and people are continuing to give him chances. And if you compare what this dude has done in life,
this is completely different, we're in a whole different spectrum talking about this, guys.
What this does is it underscores just how polarizing he is, whether it be in the locker room, where I would agree with you, Ryan, they have his back, or with coaches. And for whatever reason, this is a marriage that probably has to end. And these two have to figure that out. In the meantime, they got to work together. There's a game on Sunday, and then they have to move on. But to this point, it's why teams sort of have them in a tough spot when it comes to negotiating, because they know they need to move him. All right. From one DB looking for a trade to another on the move, Minkah Fitzpatrick got his wish granted, traded by Miami. The question now, what this means for the Steelers as they look to make a playoff push. Cam Newton, not on the practice field this afternoon, is the injury bug catching up. How long might he be out? And hopefully Carolina isn't missing Superman for long.
Jersey, check. Space boots, check.
Other quarterback news this afternoon, this coming from Carolina. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton was not on the field when his teammates took the field for practice today. According to GM Marty Herney, Newton has re-aggravated the foot injury he suffered during the preseason. His status apparently day-to-day. Head coach Ron Rivera expected to address the media at 2:30 Eastern. So we will hear from the head coach. But in the interim, the question is this, panic or patience? When it comes to Cam Newton, let me add that what we've seen so far, healthy or not, has not been the Cam Newton we've come to expect. Ryan?
I don't want to panic.
Might be time.
Patience.
I know you're patient. I think it might be time.
I was patient last week. Then I watched him play.
Okay.
Now I'm panicking.
Oh, now you're cold here.
Now I'm panicking.
This was my
concern. I can change.
Okay,
I mean, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Last week, I was like, patience. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, we had the elevator music and everything.
Then I watched the game, and I watched the way he responded to what was happening on the field. And the he's on my all-bad body language team. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. That team you want to be on.
I like that.
You don't want to be on that team.
Body. We need to put that together. I like
that. I told him that in the green room.
Yeah.
That needs to be coach's segment.
Those people who have no poker face whatsoever.
And, I mean, we've always known this about Cam, and I'm definitely panicking right now. And I'm not so much panicking on his demeanor. What I'm panicking on is the way he performed. There were throws last Thursday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that you just have to make, that you feel any starting quarterback in the NFL will make. And when you're Cam Newton and you've had accuracy issues, you've had injury situations now with your shoulder, you have to go out and show that you can make these plays. And even more alarming was the opportunities he had to run the football. He was a guy who used to be elusive, a physical runner. He's lost some of those measurables and athletic traits that made him amazing. Mm-hmm. And that is scaring me now.
Yeah, well, that's what concerns me, because those things you're talking about, those qualities were particular to Cam in a lot of ways. And so you take that away, he's a different kind of quarterback. Panic or patience?
Oh, completely panicked, because I think the fact that he is.
What is that sound? Is that like, okay.
Well, we've had like seven fire drills here today. So.
Yeah, okay. I'm told it's panic. I mean, I could get the light.
It's,
all right.
It's panic just because the understanding that he's going through the fundamentals of throwing at his age, on top of the fact that he's trying to stick with it. And you can see he's making an effort to stay in the pocket and do what he's told to do in that space. But at some point, Cam is going to go back to just being Cam again, which sounds like it could be a good thing. But I think he's just going to wind up injuring himself once again. And I think we're
going to. Can I just jump in one thing?
Yeah, please.
Jump in when you want.
Can we please change the way you dress afterwards? I know it doesn't have anything to do with how you play. But oh my goodness.
You don't like it?
Please.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought you could definitely pull the scarf.
You got to talk to his personal sauce guy.
Yeah, he's got to explain the scarf to me, though, because that's the only thing I didn't understand. Like, what are you going for in that?
All right, hold that thought.
I like the risk, but maybe a little too risky.
That's all I can say is,
Well, it also feels differently after a win than it does a loss, at least to me, but I'm old school in that regard. Well, amidst all the news, we have to stop and remember we did wrap up week two last night. There was a game, and the Browns won their first Monday night game since 2008. Odell Beckham Jr., a big winner, 161 yards, including a career-long 89-yard touchdown. Here is our Sal Palantonio, Antonio with OBJ.
Watch what watch. Watch this.
What an effort by OBJ. One-handed. Welcome back.
Wow. And this.
OBJ, he comes back to MetLife and does this. How about it? Odell Beckham Jr., 89-yard touchdown.
Good night. According to Next Gen Stats, on that catch and run, Odell Beckham Jr. reached a max speed of 21.7 miles per hour, the fastest of any NFL player on a score this season. And he wants to go faster.
When I was out there tonight and I seen everything happen, I had a big smile on the inside. I knew I was gone. I needed them hamstrings to hold up for me.
Just making sure to give that ball to him and he can keep on the move. The rest is all on him. That's why you give him the ball.
I knew that it was going to be a big play, and I seen the safety made. As I caught it, he knew I was taking the angle to the right. I seen him duck his head down, and I just made a cut, and I knew that I was going to be out of there if my hamstrings could hold up.
The run and the catch and the return conjured up a lot of swirling emotions in the Browns' mercurial wide receiver. Remembrances of things past he did under the lights in a different uniform in the same stadium.
I heard he wasn't the most dynamic player in the NFL, you know, so we got a chance to see that tonight.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I think I'm in a better physical, mental space than I've ever been in my life. So just kind of moving forward, it was just kind of like closing a chapter today. It really was. It was special for me to be able to come here. It was more special to get a win. It was special to have, you know, a pretty good game.
Browns have a tough slate ahead, though, their next five, all against teams that are 2-0 currently. They start off against the Rams on Sunday night. After that, it's the Ravens, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. Then in Week 8, coming off a bye, they'll need it. They will travel to Foxborough to face the Patriots. Look, survive in advance, right? You get the win, you move to 1-1. That's a good thing. For me, Coach, I didn't see a lot, though, to reassure me that this wasn't the Browns team I saw Week 1. Odell looked good, but there were some problems.
Well, there's some star power there. I mean, Myles Garrett looked great. Odell looked great. Okay, but they were fortunate that they played a team like New York, the Jets, for them to be able to get a win like this. So I'm not sure. You look at that schedule coming up, I'm not sure. If they can just hang around 500, that would be great for them coming out of that stretch.
I think so. And it's funny you say star power, because that was undebatable, right? We knew that going in. The question was, will they play as a team? Will Freddie Kitchens get everybody on the same page? Will they be disciplined? Will there be penalties? Jury's out, Ryan, in my opinion.
The jury's still out, and it's hard to actually watch a team and be able to assess them when they're playing someone as depleted as the New York Jets were. But when you watch this game, it wasn't the dominant performance that you would expect playing against a team that had so many guys out. Odell was great. Myles Garrett dominated. But Baker Mayfield wasn't the accurate passer that we expected him to be coming into this year. What Todd Monken and Freddie Kitchens are doing with this offense doesn't seem to be working. They aren't running things through Nick Chubb. And so you're facing five teams right now in a row with winning records, five teams that haven't had a loss. So you're going to be tested coming down the road here, and Baker Mayfield's going to have to play better, and Freddie Kitchens is going to have to get this team working together as a disciplined unit in order to win some of these games.
Well, and Diana, let's be clear. I mean, we talked a lot about Freddie Kitchens getting this job because he was so in tune and so well equipped to manage Baker Mayfield. Look, he hasn't been terrible, but he has not picked up where he left off at the end of last season either.
I still think it's early. I mean, we're gonna have to see progression here. It's still only week two. I think the reason why we're magnifying it is because it's against a very depleted New York Jets team. You know, no disrespect to New York, but I thought this was going to look more like New England against Miami last Sunday. I thought they were going to light them up. You know, when you just look on paper who was on the field versus who wasn't able to play. So I think it was disappointing from that aspect, because if this team, all the hype and excitement about this offense, and they just seemed okay yesterday. But you got to give the credit to the Jets defense. Those guys were playing really hard yesterday. And obviously Greg Williams, I think, was certainly ignited to make sure that his defense was ready to go and have a good showing. But obviously so was Myles Garrett out there going.
So here's the thing I think people miss about Greg. We kind of hear the bounty gate stuff and all of these other things. But if you ever walk into a meeting with Greg in his office, he sits back. There's books everywhere. He crosses his legs. And then you realize how intelligent he is, how organized he is, how he has everything mapped out on what his day is going to look like, what the scheme is going to be, and how he's going to implement those things. So you expect the Greg Williams defense to play hard, because if you don't play hard for him, you don't play. But I think what's missing when we look at Greg Williams not getting the job in Cleveland and Freddie Kitchens getting the job because he was Baker Mayfield's guy and he worked well with Baker Mayfield, was he didn't have to do any of the organizational stuff. He didn't have to do any of the making sure guys were disciplined, making sure guys were where they were supposed to be, when they were supposed to be there, how they were supposed to be. And so this is new for Freddie Kitchens. And I think that's part of his maturation as a coach that's going to have to come sooner than later, because we are magnifying this not only because you didn't beat the Jets the way we thought you should, because you look like you did against the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, 1 week is one thing, but 2 weeks in a row, you have to improve.
I agree. And Coach, I know you could speak to the fact that become the CEO in effect. I mean, it's not just one position or working with one player or one, you know, you got the whole operation falls under your purview. And I'm sure there is a learning curve here.
Yeah. I mean, Freddie is a first time coach. I mean, he's got a lot on his plate and he'll get better at that. All right. So to me, things like that were no problem last year, getting in and out of the huddle, getting a call to the line where the quarterback has time to go through his reads, make his call, and not have delay penalties. I mean, you should not have delay penalties. So, you know, things like that, pre-snap penalties, and some of those things that I think they'll clean up, and they're going to need to, and these next few weeks are going to give us a great idea of what kind of team this really is.
No question.
The tough part is it's easy to clean those things up, and we probably aren't paying attention to those things if you didn't have Odell Beckham Jr., Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, Njoku, Jarvis Landry. So we watch you a little bit more closely when you have this level of skill around you and it's not producing in the way that we expect it to.
Sure, human nature, there's no question about that. We move on now to the Steelers. They, too, having a rough start, having lost their quarterback for the season. Yesterday, the Steelers acquired defensive back Minkah Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins. This was in exchange for a 2020 first-round pick. The Dolphins also received the Steelers' 2020 fifth-round pick and a sixth-rounder in 2021. Fitzpatrick was unhappy with the very tenuous situation in Miami. Here is head coach, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin.
It was no secret that we were in the market for a safety when he came out. We did our due diligence on all of those guys. And, you know, obviously he was a guy that, you know, I went to Tuscaloosa twice in the draft process for. So, you know, when you get in these circumstances where you're talking about possibilities, there was a sense of readiness, a sense of knowing among us about his capabilities, his character, his football abilities, and his abilities to fit within what we do. All of those boxes had been checked prior to the draft, and he's still very much a young guy. It's really exciting from our perspective to, you know, we were excited about the potential of getting one of the top-notch safeties in that class, and, you know, a short period of time later, we have a tandem from that class, and that's pretty exciting to think about those guys having an opportunity to play together as soon as this weekend, but big picture to grow together systematically.
With Minkah, it's just one of those things. You know, the player had expressed that, you know, maybe time for him to change, and so we tried to make it work. Myself, Brian, Steve had multiple conversations with him about saying we wanted him here, viewed him as a core piece and wanted him here. And the kid just felt it was time for him to move. And we told what the value was. We told teams and we had multiple offers. And we felt that the Pittsburgh one was the one best for the organization.
Well, the Dolphins look to be in full trust the process mode. They now have three first-round picks in 2020, their own, the Texans pick from the Laramie Tunsil trade, and now the Steelers pick as well. They also have the Saints second-round pick in addition to their own. They will use those draft picks to replace a number of names that have departed, started in the spring with trades that sent away Ryan Tannehill and Robert Quinn. Since training camp began, they traded away Laramie Tunsil, Kenny Stills, and now Minkah Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins clearly playing for the future. It is simply going to be a long season. There's no getting around that. So let's look instead at the Steelers. Does this deal make sense?
I know nothing about tandems of safeties in Pittsburgh at all. So this
right?
is going
With
to
that
be
caveat.
This is going to be totally off the cuff. I know nothing about that. Listen.
Now you know how I feel.
It's a really good football player. It's a football player that fits what the Pittsburgh Steelers want to do from that position. They want to pair him with Edmonds. They want that group to grow. I just don't believe this team is a Minkah Fitzpatrick away from competing this year. I don't think that this makes them a contender. And I understand Sean Davis is now on IR. I just don't like the move and the signal it sends that in this time we need to go out and do something just so we feel good about continuing to work toward winning this season. This year has become a rebuild. This year has become an opportunity to look at the players around and allow them to grow and progress together with Mason Rudolph and young wide receiver figuring out the run game. And I know coach is over here smacking his lips.
I think he's ready for you.
Not going to coach it like
hold
that.
Hold on, Mike.
I can hold.
Mike.
Let's hold. Coach.
Mike Tomlin, you can just tell. He fell in love during that process. He couldn't wait to get a player like this. He was right there in his grasp, and he took advantage of that opportunity. He's a young player. It's not a 1 year plan. This is a plan to build and have this player for a long time. So to me, it's a nice opportunity to acquire a player. Now, the only thing that could go bad is if they do have a really bad year and that pick ends up being really high, then you're going to say, doggone it, maybe we shouldn't have given up so much. But if they can get it back together, win some games, which I think they will, if they can get back together and win some games, which I think they will, it'll be a good value pick.
I think he is a very good player. Everybody at Pittsburgh is going to hate me. They're going to be like, Mika's going to be so good. They're going to have all these visions of Troy Polamalu and all that. I think he's good. I think he's a versatile piece that you can put and plug into your secondary, and he can play day one. He will be able to play this weekend and be a good player for them. I just don't believe it's enough. I don't believe you go out and make this move without trying to have that pick to know after watching Mason Rudolph, to know where Ben Roethlisberger is, to see this team as they are trying to grow and know what you could do with that chess piece.
Diana, I'm going to ask you league reaction, but I would say this. I do think, because it's not a one-year deal, we're talking about 2020 as well, I do think it says that whether we agree or not, the Steelers have to believe that either Ben will come back or they have confidence in Mason Rudolph. That does tell me that.
That was the point I was going to make, is that I think it tells you more about what the Steelers feel about Ben Roethlisberger and his health. I think there's a lot of thought when, or at least we all reacted once we found out that Ben was gonna, deal with this injury here and he was gonna be out, that, maybe this is it for Ben. That was, I think we all thought that, right?
Maybe no, this is. I did.
Some other people did.
I think at 37, it's fair to say it's a possibility.
Yeah, and he's in a quarterback that we see like Tom Brady, who's taking tremendous care of his body through diet and physical activity. He's doing what he needs to do to play at his age. But at the same time, I think that the Steelers must feel really comfortable if they're making a move like this, because you're right, Coach. They are kind of playing like they want to win. I think they're trying to set their team up for when Ben comes back next year. That's how.
Oh, listen, I don't disagree with that. I believe they believe that Ben is going to come back and be a part of this team. He says he wants to finish out his requirements and obligations to that contract. And I thought Mason Rudolph was a guy who could be a late first round pick 2 years ago in the draft. So I'm not saying that I don't believe these guys can play or that they can field the team that is going to compete. You're not going to.
You're not hating. You're saying you're not hating on the Steelers.
You're not going
to
convince.
I may be.
You like the Steelers, right?
You may be like, and you're not going to convince Coach Tomlin to not walk in every Monday morning and put a plan together for this team to win.
Of course not.
We all know that. I don't like going out and making this decision right now. If you trust your evaluation, if you trust your player development and not using the guys in your building, I also, and this is probably more Pittsburgh Steeler in me than people want to give me credit for, I don't want a dude that's going to tuck tail and run. I'm gonna be straight
now
up with you.
That I think is.
I want a dude that I want.
I
want
to do.
I want to the bottom.
I want to do that. I want to do that when
the
hole opens up. Yeah, when the hole opens up, right?
The lead, my friend.
James Harrison's block. James Ferrier's block.
Like,
and you got to stick your face in the fan and make a play for us. I want to believe you're not gonna tuck tail and run. I want to believe that if it gets hard and Mason Rudolph isn't playing well this year, and Juju Smith-Schuster can't be the number one receiver, and James Conner's knee doesn't heal, I don't want you calling somebody else and walking up and saying you don't want to be a part of this team. That's not the way the Pittsburgh Steelers were put together. We was going to fight. We were going to ride. When Joey Porter said, who ride? We said, we ride.
All right,
this dude ain't riding.
I'm going to let you have the laugh word on that, because I think you've earned it, and I think you're right. So we're going to stop there. That's a valid point.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Man. New on NFL Live from our Jets reporter, Rich Cimini, Jamal Adams on The Fan just a few minutes ago. I tried to anticipate a play, and I anticipated wrong. They benched me. He, and I'm assuming that's head coach Adam Gase, wouldn't give me a direct answer when asked about removing the Jets. We're talking about Jamal Adams. Wouldn't give a straight answer when he was asked about removing the Jets from his social media accounts. Because, again, that's what we believe to have been the case. Diana, I'll take us through the details. And then also, I know you talked to Jamal.
Yeah, so social media was buzzing because people, I guess, go to players' pages and see if they've unfollowed their teams, because lately that's a trend where
people are bored.
When you're not happy, you go and unfollow the people that you're part of or the organizations you're part of. So people were saying that he unfollowed the Jets. So I just reached out to him and said, is there a reason why you unfollowed them? And he said, I've actually never followed them since I was drafted by them. But it sounds like the story's a little different, though, if he's not if he avoided talking about it on The Fan today. But the fact that, he mentioned that him and Adam Gase, they seem to need to have a conversation.
When
he was benched.
Smoke, there ultimately ends up being some kind of fire.
I checked on him, and he's not necessarily happy, but I don't think we should read into who's following who and who's dealing with what.
No, but, and I would agree with you. I would say this, though, in the climate we've seen over the last month where we do have guys who seem to want to tuck and run, where we do have guys who are saying, I'm not happy with my situation, put up my hand, trade me. You know, I think this is where it's led us to look at all these to sort of try and read the tea leaves, and maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's where we are.
Yeah, and I get that. I think what's happening now is the culture of being able to be unhappy publicly is a lot different than what it was when I played. And the generations have changed. The generations of player have changed. The type of power they can yield inside of buildings and organizations has changed. And you do have to deal with some of these young players and young stars in a different way. And I think more than anything, that's what we're seeing when talking about Jalen Ramsey and Jamal Adams and Minka Fitzpatrick, that there's not a necessarily a changing of the guard in who has the power in the NFL, but there is a changing of the guard in the way that you have to deal with these young stars.
I think you're right. Rich Cimini has tweeted again. I would guess it's a follow-up to what he just mentioned about Jamal Adams. Do we have it? There it is. I can't.
Adam says he still believes in the Jets can win. Calls it a special place. He sounds really bummed out. Hashtag Jets.
Yeah, listen, I'm just going to leave that alone. It is what it is. They got a mess, and they got a situation. Trevor Siemian, by the way, out for the year. We do know Sam Darnold was back in the building to get checked out, so at least he's not quarantined, but by no means does that mean he's coming back right away.
But I still think this is something to keep an eye on, because we see it every year once teams start losing. I mean, are the Jets going to be the Dolphins part two here in terms where everyone's going to be so miserable calling their agent saying, I want to get out of here? If that's going to be the case, that's just bad news.
I will
altogether.
Say this, just knowing him really well, he's obsessed with winning. Like, he really is. He's obsessed with success.
Very passionate. Very
and winning.
Well, And that's part of what makes a player, right?
Yes.
We can't discount that in its entirety. That wouldn't be
so. You can't be mad at a guy for wanting that.
Well, guess who I presume wants to win? That's Daniel Jones. He'll get to try because it is his turn in New York. The Giants are sitting future Hall of Famer Eli Manning, starting the number 6 overall pick in Week 3. What's next for Eli? Welcome back to NFL Live. In case you haven't heard, there's a change in New York. Rookie Daniel Jones, he was the number 6 overall pick in the draft, has replaced Eli Manning as the Giants starting quarterback. Manning has been benched. Jones will take over Sunday on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here's a look back at Eli's career.
Why don't you want to play for the Chargers?
We're not really giving details right now. We've made our decision, and that's what we're sticking to.
The San Diego Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks, Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
The New York Giants have a man.
Charger fans have waited a year and a half to unload on Eli Manning.
Drops back, blitz on, heaves it left for Plaxico Burress, who makes the catch for a touchdown! And the Giants have won in overtime, and they come on the field and mob Manning!
He walks in that huddle and gets it done.
Touchdown! What a throw by Manning with a touchdown strike.
Touchdown, Giants!
As a quarterback, I think you want the ball in your hands at the end of the game.
Manning takes the snap under pressure. Boyd Garage, and he's going to fight out of it. Still fights out of it. Now throws it deep downfield. Wide open Tyree, who makes the catch.
The Giants have beat the previously offbeat Patriots.
I'm proud of you, little brother.
Unbelievably. Unbelievable. He's awesome. And as his brother, I'm awfully proud.
It's family and then football.
Maybe now you'll learn to treat your younger brother with some respect, Peyton.
My name's not Peyton.
Whatever.
Eli Manning with his 200th career touchdown pass would set the Giants' new franchise record.
Giants and Niners NFC Championship game doesn't get much better than this.
Manning back to throw. He zips one to the left of the end zone. Touchdown Giants, Mario Manningham.
When you have an opportunity that, you can go win a championship, you don't want to let those things slip away because you just don't know if you're going to get another opportunity.
And welcome to Super Bowl 46.
This is the drive.
We've seen something like this before, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Manning out of the shotgun set, and he's back to throw. A deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Eli Manning once again leads a Super Bowl winning fourth quarter comeback.
Well, if this marks the end of Eli Manning's tenure with the Giants, he will go down as one of the most productive passers in league history. Manning ranks top 10 in NFL history in pass yards touchdowns and completions to go along with his two Super Bowl rings. Listen, it's unlikely at this point that Eli Manning will be the team's starting quarterback anytime soon. Of course, somebody can get injured. It is also unlikely, though, that he moves on. He's got four young children. He makes his home in New Jersey. There are a lot of factors in place. So what's next for Eli Manning if you're the quarterback? Anybody?
I would think that he'll finish the year, you know, like the gentleman he is, classy guy all the way through. He's had a great ride in New York. Mm-hmm. I don't see him going and playing football elsewhere. I think he'd retire a Giant and ride off into the sunset.
So if that's the case, if we're coming to the end here, we're on the back nine and we're on hole 17, and he does that, Ryan, what's his career? Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I think Eli has an opportunity to be a Hall of Famer. Anytime you win two Super Bowls in New York and your last name is Manning, I think that's kind of the progression we expect from you. He also beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots twice. I think what will also be a part of Eli Manning's legacy is how he will handle this situation. He will handle it like a pro. I believe he'll handle it with class. He's done nothing but that since being drafted and being a part of the New York Giants organization. And so in seeing that and allowing him to kind of ride off into the sunset, you know Eli Manning would do it the right way.
Yeah, I remember last year or 2 years ago when Ben McAdoo benched him.
Yeah, this isn't the first time. This is different, of course. But
that was the ending to a career-long streak. Number of streak of starts. So that was obviously a much bigger deal back then, and it just didn't – things were just very messy there back then. But I remember hearing – Eli the day after on New York radio giving like his first interview after he found out, and I was running errands. I was trying to get out of my car and I couldn't because I couldn't stop listening to him talk about what the experience was like, his time in New York, his appreciation for the support, for the fans. And it was a lesson for everybody, not even just in football, on how to handle life when it's not going the way you want it to go. And he's always just taken the high road. And I think if the reason why it's always been so difficult for this organization to move on to him is because he's has such high character. I think that's a really big part of why they've been so committed.
Well, I agree. And we talked about Drew Brees handling that Saints quarterback room being out the next few weeks. We talked about what will Ben Roethlisberger be like in that quarterback room out for the season. I think we know what Eli Manning will do and how he will handle this quarterback room as he goes forward with Daniel Jones as the team's starting quarterback. It all starts Sunday, by the way, against the Bucks. PM Plus, there are nine teams who are 2-0 this season, nine others, by the way, who are 0-2. But anyway, it's important to note that over 60% of teams that start 2-0 make the playoffs. 0-2 teams have a tougher road 13% of the time they see the postseason. So with that, I will give you this week three power rankings. It is way too early to crown a champion, but we are going to look at some of these 2-0 teams, and let's start with the Baltimore Ravens, contender or pretender?
Whoa, they are contenders for sure. Two reasons. One, I have a lot of belief in what Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson can do together. I think Greg Roman is proving that the success he had with Colin Kaepernick is bleeding right on over to what he's built now with Lamar Jackson. Everything Lamar said he needed to work on, what they were designing for him, it's already starting to happen, and it is only week two, but also the division. Who's going to bring them down? It's a big problem there.
Well, it is a problem. Ryan made fun of me. I said, yes, they don't sleep on those Buffalo Bills. But,
I'm with you.
Sorry,
I'm sleeping,
coach.
My bad.
Yeah, no, we'll give them a little love. Contender or pretender. Come on.
Sleep on them. Sean McDermott doing a fantastic job. The Buffalo Bills sitting right down here. This is the lowest any 2-0 team is on the board. But you know what? They are doing a great job. They built the roster in the trenches, all right? They're doing a great job running the ball, stopping the run, playing good defense, and Josh Allen's got to keep progressing as a quarterback. That's what we need. That'll be the limiting factor. Josh Allen's got to get it done.
Will he take the next step, Ryan, Josh Allen?
I think Josh Allen will take the next Josh Allen step. I don't necessarily know if
that might be enough.
I don't know if it moves him into the elite, but he's extremely athletic. The decision making needs to be better. The turnovers have to cease. We saw four turnovers, not from him, but from the Buffalo Bills in the first game against the Jets. But he definitely has the measurables to be a really good NFL quarterback.
All right. And with that, we say the same thing normally about Jimmy Garoppolo. He is back. 49ers, pretender or contender.
See, you know, coach went over here, right?
Yeah,
he was like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got to move. Yeah. Coach was like, The Bills are the lowest 2-0 team. And coach is right. They should be higher because you know who should be behind them? The 49ers. They are pretending. They are faking us out. They are imitators, pretenders, whatever you want to say. They are not the real deal at 2-0. Listen, I still don't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know a lot of people said he's gotten over some of the struggles of the preseason and he's fully back from the injury. Kyle Shanahan did a great job of scheming people open against the Cincinnati Bengals, but he was not sharp against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They won that game because Jameis Winston was just actually worse. And so watching this team progress down the rest of the season, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to be better, but they have to continue that run game that we saw unveiled in Cincinnati this weekend.
What I like about Ryan Clark on Tuesdays, because Sunday's busy, right? Monday's a long day. We get Ryan Clark unplugged on Tuesday,
yeah,
right?
By the time
we get here, I'm sleepy.
I know, you're tired. That's why you're sleeping on the Buffalo Bills. All right, listen. Week three.
I'll be sleeping on them.
I knew you were going to
say
that.
Even if I was getting rest.
All right, fair enough. Listen, still to come on NFL Live. New on NFL Live, ESPN Panthers reporter David Newton tweeting this just after Ron Rivera spoke at 2:30. Head coach says Cam Newton was getting treatment over the weekend and today. If he cannot play over the weekend, Kyle Allen will start. The news coming earlier that Cam had re-aggravated the foot injury he suffered during the preseason. The big story this afternoon, though, the decision by the New York Giants. They will bench Eli Manning. Instead, rookie Daniel Jones will take over. He was the 6th overall pick in April's draft, and now his career as the Giants starting quarterback will commence on the road Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jordan Renan joins us now. He covers this team. And Jordan, to your point, we thought we'd get here, just maybe not so soon. What happened?
Really? I mean, look what the Giants put on the field in the first 2 weeks. That's what happened. I mean, they realized maybe they shouldn't have gotten this route in the first place with the 38-year-old quarterback on a team that realistically is in the rebuilding mode. I think that's what we all realize right now. I mean, they really weren't in either of the first two games against the Cowboys or the Bills. And look, you can look at the defense. The defense hasn't played well. It would be hard to win against anybody with the way the defense has played. But the offense hasn't held up its share of the bargain either. They haven't topped 20 points in either game. So at this point, you put in Daniel Jones. You say, hey, let's see what we have. Maybe he can provide a spark on the offense. And worst case scenario, you're at least building towards the future.
Well, the future is now, as it would seem. And let me ask you this. The prevailing theory seems to be that Eli Manning will handle this like the professional he is, finish the season, and that's that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the way that this is headed. Eli has made his life in New Jersey, right? He has a no-trade clause for a reason. He has 4 kids under the age of 8 years old. He bought a house in the Hamptons a couple of years back. I mean, this is home for him at this point. So I don't see Eli Manning. He has 2 rings. He doesn't have to go chase a ring somewhere else at this point of his career. Does he want to play? Sure. He wants to continue playing. But there's other factors, I think, that are going to factor into this when it comes to Eli Manning. And that likely means finishing the season, at the very least, with the New York Giants.
Jordan, thank you. I know you'll be busy over the weekend. We'll hear back from you at that point.
Will this pick at 6 be a quarterback?
With the 6th pick, the New York Giants select Daniel Jones, quarterback, Duke.
I would have went with Dwayne Haskins, but we'll see here. Okay. Hopefully he turns out to be a fine quarterback for them.
Well, look who it is. None other than Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, welcome. The news coming today that Daniel Jones takes over in New York. Look, I'll hand it to you. You were high on this kid all along. What are your expectations as we look ahead to Sunday?
Wendy, he's a kid that played at Duke for David Cutcliffe. He had to deal with adversity personnel-wise. Their offensive line was outmanned in a lot of games. He had receivers dropping balls, yet he hung in there. He had to deal with injuries, okay, during his career. Even that final campaign, he had to deal with an injury, which he came back from. The Clemson game, that defensive front beat up Duke, yet he hung in there. I think this is a smart kid. He ran for 186 yards in a game against North Carolina. He's an accurate passer. I like his role. I like everything about him makeup-wise. He's a low-key competitor. You don't realize how competitive he is because he's so calm and cool, but he's dealt with this at Duke. He didn't have all this great talent around him. He didn't win 11, 12 games. He wasn't in a Final Four hunt. He had to deal, like I say, with some adversity. He had to elevate his team to the status they had when he ran Temple off the field, a good Temple defense. He put up big numbers against in that bowl game and very well coached for David Cutcliffe. So he'll have some rough times, he'll have some good times, but he'll get through it because of his makeup both physically and mentally.
All right, Mel, since we have you here, let's take advantage of the opportunity. The early returns on Kyler Murray, a little bit of a mixed bag, as you would expect, but also some flashes of brilliance. What have you seen?
Real good flashes, and it's money time, the fourth quarter. Yeah, the first three quarters, he's struggling, but the fourth quarter in that Lion game, last week, M&T Bank Stadium was rocking. That was the home opener for a really good defense that he hung in there. He's unflappable. This kid never gets rattled. He's supremely confident. I think they know what they have with Kyler Murray, and certainly when you look at Lamar Jackson, it's the same thing in Baltimore. This is their franchise. When you want to doubt it, question it, he's the franchise, and Greg Roman has worked an offense to suit him. I just worry about staying healthy and the offensive line moving forward when the schedule gets tougher. Can that, I think, suspect line keep holding up, and can Lamar stay healthy? Because he's going to take hits. But so far, everything looks really promising for the Baltimore Ravens.
It sure does, Mel. If I had said to you seven touchdowns through two games, and oh, by the way, he passed for them all, what would you have said?
Possible. Against that schedule.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Let's see what happens now when the schedule, beginning at Kansas City, at Arrowhead, where he played last year, and then Cleveland and Baker come to M&T Bank Stadium. When the schedule gets tougher, does the winning continue? We'll see. It's really early to start evaluating his quarterbacks like it's a final grade. But right now, for Arizona and Baltimore, everything looks really good.
All right, Mel, we love you. Listen, we're going to be talking taking for Tua here pretty soon. I know you are busy already, but we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, after opening the season 2-0 and looking just as prolific as he was during an MVP season, it's already a good day to be Patrick Mahomes, but today even better because it's his birthday. Happy birthday. 24 years young is Patrick Mahomes as he celebrates his September 17th.
You and Pat.
It's Wendy Nix's birthday
but
today,
Hall of Fame
too.
Birthdays
I tell
today.
You what, but here's his best highlights, not mine.
What a response. Look,
we're gonna do a little gift giving, right? What do you get the kid who's got everything? You know, I mean, outside of Tom Brady, he could get a few more rings. Well, get a ring. He doesn't have one yet. But how about this? Possibility that he gets the gift of another MVP season.
Is it a possibility?
I know it's like almost a sure
is it,
thing.
So is
like,
it just this season, or we're just talking about throughout his career?
Let's go with that. Just this season.
100%. I believe that he's the leader right now. When we look at what Patrick Mahomes has done through the first two games, the only thing that makes this even look like it may not be that great is because we watched Patrick Mahomes play last year, and now you kind of expect him to play at this high level at the quarterback position. You enjoy watching this guy play. You love the energy that he plays with, but it's the execution, the strong arm, and his accuracy downfield that makes him a difference maker for this team.
Hard to argue with. What about the possibility we might get him, say, a Super Bowl championship this season? Coach.
I mean, they have a shot. It's going to be, can they play better defense? I mean, it's really
always going to be their thing.
The offense, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, they're going to put up points. I mean, Andy Reid, that system, they do a great job, you know, with the playmakers they've assembled. It's going to be Steve Spagnuolo, the defense. Can they come along? Can they continue to improve throughout the year?
You know, and they get ahead of New England.
Coach Spagnuolo, who he'd probably love to have on the team, Jalen Ramsey. But again,
got that right.
Right?
They but, definitely
you know,
love to have him.
The Jags asking price is very high at this point, so we're not sure if that's ever going to happen. But you got to figure that the Chiefs would love to have him on their team.
All right, let me ask you this one more thing. This I would have been accused of being certifiable a few years ago, but it is certainly within the realm. How about we get him a $200 million contract? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah.
I can't believe you had to think about it.
I know.
If the salary, especially if the salary cap goes
that
up,
was
this
my
negotiation,
thought is if
it's not going down.
It's not. No, it doesn't
right,
seem to
goes
be going down.
It's not going down.
Yeah, I would think that he would be. All right. Well, look, any way you slice it, it's a good day, and happy birthday, Patrick Mahomes. It is not quite the same news for Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. We learned earlier this afternoon that he was unable to practice today. And then according to the GM, he has re-aggravated the foot injury he suffered during the preseason. He's considered day-to-day. Here's head coach Ron Rivera.
Well, for the most part, we got the rest of the information today. And I can tell you no more than what Marty told you, to be honest with you guys.
Well, did he do physical therapy over the weekend, you know?
To the best of my knowledge, yes, he did. He was with a trainer for the most part. Yes, visited with him, and he's going to do everything he can to get back out as soon as he can. Yes, if Cam can't play, Kyle will be our starting quarterback.
If Cam Newton cannot play, Kyle Allen will be the starting quarterback. Still to come, final thoughts on Eli Manning. His tenure as the Giants starting quarterback is over. The Daniel Jones era set to begin. Fat Tuesday, everybody. A little take on Fat Tuesday. We'll tell you what we're all in on. Go, D.
I'm all in on the Saints. Look, Sean Payton has never had a deal with an offense without Drew Brees, but guess what? He's got Teddy Bridgewater and his favorite toy out there, Taysom Hill. I think they're going to have no issue against the Seahawks.
Ah.
Here we go, Atlanta. What can you do now? Second road game. The first one was a bomb, so let's get this one done.
Okay, fair enough. Ryan Clark.
I am all in on the New York Giants making a decision to go with Daniel Jones. It was the right decision to make. 2 weeks too late, but I'll take it. Let's go, New York Giants.
All right, listen, how about the Texans? Hand me that. Let me tell you what I'm all in on. I'm all in that the pieces are in place, but I am not all in on protecting that quarterback. They got to figure it out, Coach. That O-line, he's got to stay clean. Otherwise, I'm all in.
Well, we're also all in on your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
Oh, see you.
Happy birthday.